Good morning. The time is 8:06. I'm Chad Holmes. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Fair skies on this Wednesday morning, temperature of 25 degrees. Welcome to the Chad Holmes Show. Here as we are on a hump day Wednesday, heading downhill towards the big holiday weekend. And as we do every other Wednesday, very happy to welcome into studio Bob Look. Bob, good morning.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
I try to avoid the Christmas music.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all good.
Do we got to pay for royalties?
I think we got, there's like a limit on seconds, right? Before we start talking to Bob, I have to say good morning to Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Are you doing well this morning?
Doing pretty well. I slept in a little
bit. I wasn't going to bring it up because I don't think you got here this late at all since you've been coming in to do this program.
Yeah,
I was starting to worry. I was starting to think maybe I'm going to have to give you a call, but I remember you told me the story last week about how you were running a little bit late, and I thought maybe today was one of those days as well.
That's okay. It's just a temporary...
He just ran into a few too many Tom and Jerry's. So.
That's probably it.
Okay.
In all those years doing morning radio, Bob, did you ever wake up, look at the clock, and say, hey, I'm supposed to be on the air right now? Or was your body clock so good that you never had one of those situations?
That was something that didn't really bother me. I cannot think of maybe one or two where I actually got to the alarm ringing. I always woke up before the alarm even kicked into gear. Maybe it's one of these second nature things that I didn't want to have when the alarm goes off and then you just lean over and click the snooze button or else just turn it off and then you're back sleeping again. It's that fear that suddenly your general manager is calling you. Where are you?
I call it paranoia because I don't use my alarm never wakes me up because I'm paranoid about oversleeping and missing being late in the morning, and also paranoia. I was talking to you before we went on, before we get to the serious stuff. I know that you've done many hundreds and hundreds and thousands of games during your broadcast career, and I had one of those issues last night where you set up the equipment, you're just ready to roll, and then all of a sudden it's not working. And unfortunately, here at Civic Media, I have a call I can make. They can pull up everything on the computer, see what's wrong, and even the engineers are having problems. And it's like, and you're just standing up there feeling useless.
And the people,
are saying, why aren't you talking?
Yeah. Well, you're not saying much in this broadcast. You've taken the night off. you try to explain to them, but unless you've been there, you don't really know the panic that sets in. You're wondering, oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? And you start realizing, well, it's out of your hands. Somebody who's a little smarter can maybe come up with a solution, and you lucky enough to have somebody to back you up there.
Ultimately got on the air, which was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
December the 20th. Have you seen a year like this where, I was driving down south on Saturday, and me and a coworker, we had a holiday event for Civic Media, and we're looking, and she keeps saying, boy, it's green. It's green.
Oh, yeah?
we've been around here a long time, but this has really been something.
To be honest with you, I've basically hit the two significant snowfalls driving back from Madison after doing Badger hockey, that it was two Saturdays in a row where I was from like Portage to Stevens Point. It was, like horizontal snow, windy, and just enough that slicked up the roadway, so you really had to be careful out there. But other than that, it's been kind of like snow. What snow? And, I know there's people with snowmobiles out there that are sitting there in their sheds or garages just going, anytime now.
That's the way I look at it because I'm not a big winter guy. I'm always happy to be busy with the hockey and basketball because I don't do a lot. But at the same time, when you live here, you realize that people do count on snow. They count on it, not just for their entertainment, but also for economic benefits. And it's kind of worrisome because at this point, I don't see, looking at the weather, and I don't see anything changing here anytime soon.
Well, the ski hill will be fine because they can make snow, and they can have a bunch of their runs, skiable. so the skiers can do their thing. But cross-country skiers, that's another thing, you know. And then, of course, the snowmobilers and that. And, of course, also because of the somewhat mild temperatures, the ice fishermen are kind of on hold, you know. You don't have don't see too many of those shacks out there yet.
No, that was funny. Actually, yesterday I was I went and grabbed a bite to eat at lunchtime, and I excuse me, went over the bridge over, you know, towards Red Mountain.
Yep, yep.
And there were folks on like motorcycles on the ice.
Yeah, that's
I was thinking, holy cow, you guys, you're a little bit braver than I am at this point. Because, you know, I know that there may be ice out there, but it can't be that thick right now, can it?
No, it isn't. And I'm sure that the ice fishermen are kind of waiting patiently. If you go a little further north, and that you might have a little more consistency in the cold. But, yeah, it's a little late this year.
By the way, Christmas Day on Monday, 47. 47 right now. Unbelievable.
Well, I remember I was working down in Milwaukee. And I was doing part-time radio in Milwaukee and full-time in Port Washington. And I was working Christmas Day. And I'm trying to remember the years, like 83 or 84 or something like that. And it was like a high of 80 in Milwaukee. I mean, there were people who had their grills out in their front yard, or they were grilling.
That's insane.
Their Christmas meal. I mean, it was one of the. I'm sure that you have a meteorologist that could look that up, but but it's somewhere in the early to mid 80s that there was just an incredibly warm Christmas day, where it's like, how in the heck is this happening? So.
It's funny. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you a story because I think maybe you appreciate it. Radio, last Saturday morning, we do this college football show with Sully. And I'm sitting here, and of course, you know, Sully's sitting where you're sitting, and we got the big window here in our new location. And a guy, I'll call him Santa Claus, walks right by. And the thing about this Santa Claus is he looked exactly like Santa Claus. You know, there are bad Santa Clauses,
right,
and pretty good Santa Clauses. And here in Wausau, you usually don't see, I think, the best Santa Clauses. I think Santa Claus, you know, the best ones tend to be,
Santa helper.
Yeah, one, yeah. But this guy walked right by, and it's like, wow. This guy's a real Santa.
This guy's working at it.
And it also is, like, this is why we have this studio, so we can see stuff like that.
Correct.
When you're walking right by, the window's right here by Washington Street. I just thought maybe, again, you know, it's one of the fun things about the job. You never know what's going to happen with this job, right. I tell you.
And there's something to be said about doing radio, an audio, venue, that when you inject visual stimulus to the people who are talking, like all of a sudden we'll be just talking back and forth, bantering back and forth. All of a sudden, you, oh my gosh, look at that! There's a Santa Claus out there.
That's
or
exactly.
Like today, we're looking at construction trucks who are doing their last bit of work before their holiday kicks into gear, probably Friday. So,
Christmas.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, and I don't know if it's okay to ask you, but obviously as somebody who suffered loss, how's this time? Because I know I wanted to talk about this a little bit for people out there, because we talk about all the wonderful time of the year. Is this a hard time for you?
Very much. Very much. And I just, in fact, over the weekend, I didn't go out anywhere all weekend long. It was one of a few weekends. I have been working solid, in Madison, like three straight weekends.
Sure.
And so this weekend came, and normally I go out and socialize or something like, but I didn't go anywhere. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right into Monday. I mean, never left the house. By Sunday afternoon, I was getting texts from some of my friends. Hey, Bob, you okay?
Mm.
Hey, we're over here. Did you want to stop over? I go, nope, staying home. And is everything all right? Said, yeah, everything's fine. But I prefer to be kind of like alone and just within my thoughts. I mean, I have a lot of good, honest friends who say, hey, why don't you come on over and, we're gonna have our meal and that Christmas Eve night. You want to come on over and get invites? And I said, well, thank you for the offer, but I prefer to just be by myself and in my thoughts. So That's kind of, in fact, I just posted on Facebook or a little thing, you know, just a picture of my wife and myself on our very first Christmas together as husband and wife in our home that we just purchased earlier in the year in Rapid City, South Dakota. And I just wanted to put that there because that's kind of like where my mind is at.
What, I think based on what you just said, for people that know people that may be going through, you know, may have at least moments where this time is difficult, what piece of advice do you give to the people in those people's lives? Are there your friends doing the things that, or do you get annoyed in some way?
No, I don't get annoyed because I know from their heart what they are reaching out. They are trying to encompass me in their celebration or encompass me in their... I'm not a bah humbug, okay?
Right, right.
I'm not running around going, you know, you should be miserable. No, I'm not miserable. I'm very quiet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, me singing It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, that's about as laughter and funsy as I'll get.
Right.
But, you know, I spend some time with some friends. You know, we'll have a few things. But when it gets down to... I had invites with friends from down to Fort Atkinson to Madison and other locales in my home area, Milwaukee. And I go, no thanks, but I appreciate your, you know, thinking about me, and you know, you have yourself a great holiday time.
We're going to turn our attention to some of the news going on after we...
There's news?
There's
news. I thought they took time off.
No, not. There's always a little bit of news going on. So we'll talk about some of the news headlines coming up in just a few moments. The time is 8:18. I'm Chad Holmes with Bob Look here for the first hour on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:21 with Bob Look here for our number one of the program. Excuse me. Hey, Donald Trump in the news, and the state of Colorado says he can't be on the ballot. I think this is a bigger issue than just that specifically, because it goes to how we're handling everything that's happened in the last 4 years. And it feels as though, and I don't know if you saw last week where Ron Johnson was on CNN, basically poo-pooing again the whole idea of the fake electors. And the thing that I find worrisome is that each day that goes by, and each week and each month that goes by, there's a sense, well, no, it really wasn't that bad. You know, this was just kind of political stuff. But the state of Colorado and their Supreme Court said, no. This guy broke the Constitution. He cannot be on the ballot. It's a step forward, in my opinion. What's your take on that in generally when you hear Ron Johnson pontificating again that everybody does it, Democrats do it, when he's lying again? And by the way, Ron, I don't know if you saw Ron Johnson's new beard as well.
He's looking wonderful.
I know, Anna.
And he's probably on a phone call that isn't actually there, too. So. But let's just look at that section number 3 of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. It says, no person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president and vice president or hold any office civil or military under the United States or under any state who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislature or as executive or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution of the United States, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. But Congress may, by a vote of 2/3 in each the House, the House of Representatives and the Senate, remove such disability. Meaning, this takes Supreme Court out of play. They can't say that, oh, no, he could be put on the ballot. It's supposed to take a 2/3 majority out of the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate to even allow a person to run after they have been engaged with insurrection. This, of course, was written by Congress people not soon after the Civil War.
Yep.
Wanted to make dang sure that the people who caused all the death, all the disruption, all the brothers killing brothers in this country, to not even, you know, be able to have a seat. They could run. They could get on a ballot if 2/3 in both houses would say, yeah, okay, go ahead. It's there, and it's in black and white. And there isn't no ignored lyric that I just read. Every word was the word of the amendment. There's nothing in there that some people forget about the well-organized militia.
Right.
In certain other amendments that they... Oh, well, that's not important. No, well, that was kind of important if you look at that law. All I'm saying is, okay, now it's up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they have a total of 17 days, counting today, 17 days to come to either a decision or something to, you know, change this around and say, okay, he could be on the ballot. But then again, that would... be on the ballot for the primary. Now we have to reconsider the other one because state courts and also legislatures can just turn around and go, wait a minute, we don't believe that this U.S. Supreme Court can hold over our individual rights as states to run our own elections. There's going to be a big... you know, big battle coming up here soon. What happens? I would say U.S. Supreme Court will figure out some way or try to figure out some way, and then we're going to get back into, well, that doesn't apply for the general election. It would primary, you know, is a different thing. So it's going to be people at a higher pay grade than I have.
Already there are Republicans saying, well, beware of what you're doing, the Democrats, or, you know, blaming Democrats for this, saying that, you know, they're taking Trump off the ballot. Beware, because then it'll turn on you. And the idea of it is, why is it always that way? Instead of looking, saying, hey, what happened nearly, you know, three years ago is wrong. This idea that we have to, you know, scratch each other's back. I hate that idea. Why is it so difficult for some people to say, hey, that was wrong?
Because there's simpletons out there that have the title of senators standing there going, well, Democrats do the same thing. Yeah? Where? Please give me an example. Give me any type of, you know, evidence, any kind of proof, anything that you can concretely say, yeah, you're right. Don't just throw out accusations. The problem is right now there's a lot of accusations being thrown out by people, and now they're coming home to roost. Now you have to go in front of a judge, a jury, also be under oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And if they are having trouble with the truth, like Rudy Giuliani, like all the others, and, you know, and plus all the other people, you know, you're talking about, in the case of the former president, think of the guy who was at the Capitol dressed up in that garb. Mm-hmm. He's applying to run for Congress. Now, if you're taking that amendment right there in the Constitution, say, you don't have a chance because you participated in this. And then we open up the old, prove it. Well, there it is. Here's a picture. Here's a video of you in so-and-so's office.
And unfortunately, we now live in an era where one of the major political parties will nominate people like that. And because of all the gerrymandering going on, if you get a nomination of the party that is in total control of an area, crazy people get elected to our Congress. And it's a cycle that is taking us down the drain right now because we're not getting serious people who are actually looking at serious issues serving the people of their congressional districts or states or whatever it may be. And it gets exceptionally frustrating if anybody that truly believes in good government.
You know, that's why I think that that amendment, when they put in there 2/3 of the House, 2/3 of the Senate, because they could not comprehend that there would be 2/3 of the people in representation in this country are totally bonkers.
News update, and then more with Bob Look. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO.
And we've been getting requests for me to continue singing after my early, rendition, but I'm...
Be the new Burl Ives.
No, we don't want to have more than one Burl Ives.
It's a holly, jolly Christmas.
You become the snowman on the Rudolph Show.
I'm sorry.
That is Bob Look. I am Chad Holmes. Bob joins us every other Wednesday, our final visit of 2023. Something that I think we both are good government kind of folks. And I think that's one reason that why you ran back a couple of years ago to only a year ago.
Yeah.
Seems like a lot longer. But even though the uphill climb with the numbers, because you believe in the system and believe in good government. And another story that caught my attention this week that I don't know how, and again, I think we were talking off the air and I was saying that this seems to be this very difficulty for people to go after people with status. That even if they're obviously doing things that are wrong, like Mr. Trump, and another person is Justice Clarence Thomas. I don't know, did you catch the story this week that basically he had sent a letter in the year 2000 that said he was basically thinking of leaving the Supreme Court because he couldn't afford to stay on, and then all of a sudden that's where all these wealthy Republicans have started basically plowing him with money and gifts and property and everything else. How you think about our system of government based on the people, based on trying to have good government, and this is just another check on the ledger of Clarence Thomas, where at what point do we do something?
Well, this goes back to the founders who put this together. They were confident that people of goodwill and to do the best for the country were the ones that are going to step forward. They didn't realize that there were as much in those early days of the criminal element out there that looks for that to be another door to open for opportunities. I mean, when you have a Supreme Court judge, just being a Supreme Court judge almost automatically gives you this, well, they're the best we have. Right. Because they had went through all the interviews, the votes to be, allowed to for this privilege. And I'm sure that Supreme Court justices through the past have not all been peaches and cream. And they're the stories that you don't hear too much about, but they eventually do find ways in and out of being being a part of this is the Supreme Court. I mean, there's other lower, like federal judges and that, who go through these, you know, disciplinary, you know, deals, but they didn't get around to write one for the Supreme Court. So, okay.
It's so unbelievable that they would push back the thought of having some sorts of ethics rules. I mean, it is crazy.
Yeah, well, we believe in ethics rules, but we'll handle that ourselves. That'd be like, you know, just telling you, you know, saying, you know, well, I'm Chad Holmes, and you know, I'll watch out for myself, and you just go, you know, do something that maybe the current company that you're working with really. Suddenly, you decide that you want to have a Lithuanian hour. Nothing wrong with having a Lithuanian hour, but did upper management really want you to use 1 hour of your broadcast time for a Lithuanian?
And especially
hour.
If the folks in Lithuania are just paying me straight out to do
it. Yeah, giving you like $1 million a year. We want that show on the radio.
And I don't tell my bosses I'm getting
correct.
Their money.
See, that's how you pull it all together.
But also, again, even beyond what Thomas is doing, even beyond what those Republicans were doing, employing him with all this money and gifts.
And again,
why aren't Democrats saying, okay, we can't just talk about it. We actually have to do something about this.
Because again, there is. I don't just say Republicans here, because there's on the other side, Bob Menendez, the senator from New Jersey, is one that, you know, with gold bars. Who hangs on to gold bars? Well, if you want to, you know, hide money, you know, siphoning into your gold bar, is, you know, who gave you that? Oh, that was given to me as a friend who, you know, who obviously wasn't looking for any favors.
And if you want to even spread this, I would call it almost a conspiracy further, talking about Bob Menendez, his daughter, Alicia Menendez, is an anchor on MSNBC. So again, it goes to the media as well. I mean, I can see why
they have access to those people.
But I mean, it's just craziness. Now, the power structure of what we are is corrupt at so many different levels.
I'll give you a good little example. Within the broadcast industry, it kind of is the same thing. Back in the 90s, you know, record companies would have these showcases for brand new artists that they would like to get some publicity out there for. So what they would do, these companies, they would pick certain radio people who make decisions on what songs are being played on their particular stations. This is back when you could still make your own playlists, okay? And, of course, I was part of this, too. Where I was flown to this location, that location, they wined and dined us, these record companies. And then, you know, and then, of course, the next week, they're expecting that you're going to put this particular artist's song in your playlist to make him go up in the Billboard charts and stuff, right?
And those were very sensitive, too. I mean, it didn't take much, did it, for those songs to become a hit?
There was a situation where I went to one of these deals. Now, the way I looked at it, I wasn't going to just automatically put that song on our playlist by that particular artist. In fact, when I saw the person perform, it's okay. And in the song, I go, that's not really going to fit. There's other things that we're going to add to their playlist. So I didn't. President of the company calls me the day after when get all the president of this record company starts, hey, how come you didn't add so-and-so's record this past week? I said, well, because I am programming for this area that I am serving, and we just didn't have any room for it, and we didn't feel that it was the strongest song to make that. We'll consider again for next week. And he was just like, well, we flew you to here and there, and he was telling me all this, you know, gave great meals, you know, fine, all this entertainment. I said on the phone to him, are you saying that the promotional trip that you let me be a part of, that this is a quid pro quo? And there was silence, because if he would have said yes, then the problem begins for them. And he goes, well, we'll deal with you later. And bonk. So then the next thing, you know, so now we wanted to do a promotion with that particular record company for a legitimate superstar to help. And suddenly the record company, oh, no, we're not jam. So they're getting us from the side.
Yeah.
Point being is I could have just, you know, walked on March Steff.
Yep.
Played this song that they were promoting and that.
And kept giving the gifts.
But I wanted to be loyal to the station and the company that I was working for.
I will put it in a different way here. You and Clarence Thomas, very similar. You're getting plowed with some of these gifts, and then you had a decision to make. Clarence Thomas, getting plowed with all these gifts, he has a decision to make when he's on the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
You decided to stand with the people, the listeners.
Yep.
Clarence Thomas is not standing with the people of the United States of America. He's standing with himself and his benefactors so he can keep getting the gifts. And I guess the big question is, and again, I don't know the answer, is there any hope that somebody's going to do something to stop this?
Well, again, it's the assumption that you're putting people in those positions to make the correct call. And you know, I know, and I know your listeners have figured this out quite quickly. Not everybody is playing by the same rules. And it's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. That's why you have to be consistently, you know, observant of what's going on around you and decisions being made. And that elections, not just presidential elections every 4 years, are important. The important ones are also those primary elections, the voting for school board representatives, village trustees, city councilmen and women, mayors. They're just as important, if not more important, because they affect you probably even more directly.
I'll give credit to the media, because without the media, we don't hear about some of these stories. But at the same time, we don't. The media organization that brought out this latest Clarence Thomas, ProPublica, we don't see at the same level that we used to see, say, the major networks or even some of the major newspapers bringing out this. And then when it happens,
because the access.
Right. And then when it happens, we hear about it for a day and then it goes away.
Or it gets put on page 10.
And then we hear about the same other stories that I don't think have the effect of weakening our democracy the same way that having a corrupt Supreme Court justice and a corrupt wife of a Supreme Court justice. We're going to keep hearing about Hunter Biden right through Election Day. The media is also, I would call, an unindicted conspirator in all this as well.
And again, the media, you have to remember that when there's stuff going on CNN, MSNBC, the Fox Snooze channel, I say that right? Fox Snooze?
That's a good one. I
Fox
like that one.
Fox Snooze channel. Anyway.
I don't have my rim shot here.
So, you know, when you expect these people to, like, you know, do the jobs, well, they're doing the job to look at that ratings meter.
The profit center.
Every minute, every 5 minutes. Gee, well, you know, when we talk about Hunter Biden, our ratings are up. If we talk about, the Affordable Care Act and how much good it's being, you know, done as far as getting more people covered and prices of drugs and treatments going down because of the power of the ACA, nobody's interested in that. Who cares about that?
Well,
because
you can talk,
ratings.
Yeah, and you can talk about just, I keep hearing, well, Joe Biden needs to worry about these polls, and I know we've talked about this, but at the same time is, what do, all these hand-wringers, he has a record to run on. And yes, to a certain extent, he's got to talk about it, but to a certain extent as well, the number one, the people need to, I think, be held accountable for knowing what's going on. And also number two, nobody, they don't talk about it. They don't talk about important things anymore at 2:30 in the afternoon on MSNBC. And again, they have Bob Menendez's daughter on telling us what to think. I mean, there are so many issues going on right here.
Well, again, we could have issue overload, too. Like a lot of people, you can go to a buffet table, right? All you can eat buffet.
Yeah.
But you ain't going to eat everything on that buffet. You're going to be picking and choosing the things that you like.
Mm-hmm.
You mean, you might have your choice. Oh, look, there's ham. Oh, there's chicken. Oh, there's some prime rib over there. And then as you're putting the plate together, you come back and you've got, you know, a little side, a little salad, a little that, and but you have a big hunk of prime rib. Well, don't you like the ham or the chicken? Well, but I like prime rib. And that's your choice.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm just too pragmatic.
You are.
I'm annoying.
This morning, you are incredibly pragmatic. I'm here trying to tilt at windmills, and you're just saying, no, you're going to have to figure things out.
As I said, I firmly believe that getting in the voter's booth, making when you're there, just you and the ballot, there's nobody to influence you in that. And also, they don't know how you're voting. You're going to vote the way you feel.
Well, we have to go away for just a moment, then we'll come back a few more minutes with Bob Look here on Bull Falls.
Tom and Jerry, please.
Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back with Bob Look here on the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. I want to talk about maybe a positive individual because, you know, sometimes I got delved in. Talking about Clarence Thomas makes me a little upset. So, but there's a guy that has been a hero of mine since I was a kid. I mean, because when I was first growing up, this guy was the coach of the Green Bay Packers, and I was unfortunate not to be able to see him as a player. When I was a kid, we had a black cat. His name was Black Bart Starr because we loved Bart Starr. This black cat was named Black Bart Starr. When he got fired in the final days of 1983, the day after they lost to the Bears, and if they would have won, they would have made the playoffs, and he would have kept his job. I was at school at D.C. Everest Junior High School, and they had what's called a listening center. And, you know, you could listen to some either music or listen to a radio. And I heard on the radio that they had fired him, and I cried because I loved this guy so much. And nowadays, if you have the record he had as a coach, he would never have lasted that long because, you know, the eras are different. Mm-hmm. But he was a great human being. And I saw on your Facebook, and I haven't had a chance to see the show yet, but a new documentary has been put out on the SEC Network because Bart Starr went to Alabama, of course, mm-hmm. before going to Green Bay. And you had said that you had saw it and you would
recommend it. I DVR'd it, so I make sure I could, you know, because they ran at an odd time. So I DVR'd it, and I watched it over the weekend, and I was like, there were things that were in there that I had not known. I was lucky enough to interview Bart Starr in 2013 or 2014, don't know the exact year, on a station down in Wisconsin Rapids, another civics media station, WFHR. And we had Bart Starr on as a guest. And what was so cool is, you know, I've got the phone number and I'm calling the house, right? And hello, and it's Cherry Starr, you know. Hi, I'm Bob Look for WFHR for our interview for Bart. Oh, I'll get him. Your name, that's Bob. And she was so nice. We'll get him right away. How's the weather up there? And she's just making small talk with me. And gets Bart on the phone. And this is before he had his stroke. It really sent him, you know.
Right.
Struggling the last five years of his life. Anyway, so Bart gets, oh, I go, Mr. Starr, this is Bob. Oh, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, okay, we'll be on in about 2 minutes. First of all, Bob, one thing, don't call me Mr. Starr. And I went, okay, Mr. Starr, whatever you want. I said, I mean it. And I said, okay, I'll try really hard, you know. And another gentleman was there with the interview. We did this interview. It was just, it's one of those things. I know it. I recorded it. And that, but it's somewhere buried in my archives.
And the thing about it is
great,
and again, and I'm going to watch that as well over the Christmas weekend because we have a little time. But everybody that ever talks about the man, nothing but good. I mean, and the thing is, they talk about what a great man he was. It shows that you can be a good person and still be tough as nails. And you talked about the stroke. That man, in the final years of his life, worked so hard for every gain that he made.
To regain the ability of even speaking.
I mean, it just showed the toughness within him. And I know that probably won't spoil the documentary, but I've heard stories about how he was bullied at Alabama. And it was actually more like assault from what Cherry Starr I've read, you know. And
well, the one thing that I will say, if you haven't seen it, I'll let you see it, but I'm not going
to
kill the information. But early years when he was a child, and he also had a brother, and I'll just leave it at that, and because that's where a lot of the story kind of gets woven together.
But it's great to have people like that. That's you know, because I think sometimes we do get bogged down in, frankly, in the Trumps of the world. A man who I think is the antithesis of what Bart Starr was all about, and a person that had gave back over and over again. I mean, still having, but what he did for kids with Rawhide over the years, I mean, truly, I mean, as close to a human saint I think as possible.
Well, again, there's another great story in that, and I'm not going to tell the story, but basically it was some guy knocking on Bart Starr's door, and Cherry answers the door, and there's this guy says, excuse me, I know this is unusual, but my father would really, you know, like to meet Bart Starr. And Bart heard the, yeah, Cherry, what's going on? He said, oh, there's a gentleman here says his father's, well, hang on a second. And, you know, and Bart gets his coat on, goes out to the car and talks to his father. And he just didn't talk to him. Come on, let's take him inside. He shows him the various trophies that he's accomplished in the Super Bowl rings and everything else. And this, the father was in ill health, and the last words to him, and I'll let you see it on the show yourself, but this is the kind of guy he was.
Yeah.
And that's why, that was really worth seeing. So look for it on the SEC channel.
Exactly. Man, oh, man. Again, I just truly, you know, I don't throw the word around. I love that guy. Even when they weren't winning, you were just proud to have that guy represent you.
Well, like it says in that he took the job as the head coach. He knew darn well he wasn't ready for something like that. You know, he was an assistant coach for Dan Devine and
one year.
Yeah, but it was like he felt the loyalty to do what he could for the team that had made him, no pun intended, a star.
Mm-hmm.
So
good stuff indeed. I'm looking forward to watching it. Well, Bob, again, it's last time in 2023 that we get a chance to visit. One of the best things about 2023 is looking forward to talking to you every other week. And hopefully, and you know, 2024 is going to be a very interesting year. So I think it'll be fun to keep on doing it once we get into January.
Well, as long as, you know, people, you know, give a listen once in a while, and if they, you know, enjoy it or maybe don't agree with us, that's fine. But we just hope it's, you know, an hour that you enjoy tuning into, and I appreciate the time to visit with you all. Let you know I'm still alive.
Bob, look, you'll be back with us in a couple of weeks on the first Wednesday of 2024.
Well, I don't know, my contract is.
Oh, please, I'll make sure to get that.
Like Clarence Thomas, there you know.
Oh, geez.
You want me around here? You're gonna cost you.
I know. I would love to stay, but boy, you're gonna have to help me out here, right? Very good,
Bob. Where do you want your tax breaks? Come on.
Coming up, we will be joined by Sean Wright of the Grand Theater. Coming up in the next hour, talk about a busy time at the Grand. News update straight ahead. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.